I'm Mike Fraser, and this is WYSO Today for Thursday, April 23rd. Nearly 50 community projects aimed at helping younger, beginner, and underserved farmers lost federal funding last month. The USDA says it cut the nearly $300 million because of little improvement to land access and excessive spending on outreach and technical assistance. WYSO Shea Frank has more about one of the local projects that's been affected by the cuts.
The Agraria Center for Regenerative Practice received $3 million from the USDA's Increasing Land, Capital, and Market Access projects. It used that money over the past 2 years to offer access to farmland and training to farmers. But the organization received a letter in March terminating the remainder of its funding, which was just under half of the grant value. The letters say there was little improvement to land access and excessive spending. Agraria President Jessica D'Ambrosio says their plan was on track and met the grant requirements. She says many projects nationwide faced delays getting their federal funding.
So everything was kind of moving smoothly until about April of 2025, and we started to see some slowdowns in responses from our grant manager, and we did start to see some delays in the reimbursement payments that we were getting, and that did force us to have to replan and rethink the way that we could execute the program we had designed.
D'Ambrosio and BIPOC Initiative Director Tia Stewart are hopeful other funding sources will revitalize the program. Stewart says they are dedicated to continuing support for farmers who need assistance learning regenerative practices. For WYSO News, I'm Shea Frank.
Republican candidate for Ohio Governor Vivek Ramaswamy brought his campaign pitch to Ohio State University yesterday at a Turning Point USA event. Ramaswamy took critical questions from the audience and remembered the group's founder, Charlie Kirk. For the Ohio Newsroom, WOSU's George Shilcock reports.
Ramaswamy made his pitch to the audience about lowering or even eliminating both income and property taxes. Many of the questions lobbed at the Cincinnati native were critical of his positions. One person questioned Ramaswamy about Kirk's opposition to H-1B visas, which Ramaswamy supports. Ramaswamy says it's important to respect one another if you disagree.
Charlie and I mean, we grew very close. We would have debates where we agree on 95% of things, we disagree on 5%. But exhibit a culture of mutual respect that at minimum is committed to the principles of the American founding.
Another person was critical of Ramaswamy's support of data centers. The woman left the mic after shouting to the audience to support Ramaswamy's opponent.
Vote for Casey Putsch.
It's free country.
For the Ohio Newsroom, I'm George Shilcock in Columbus.
Washington Township residents will vote on a 0.9 mil police levy during this primary election. Supporters say it'll annually generate $1.7 million, which will enable the department to hire more officers and keep up with rising costs. One proposal is to add a detective and two road patrol deputies, plus purchase two cruisers. The township contracts with the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office. The Montgomery County Auditor's Office says the proposed levy would cost the owners of a $100,000 home about $32 more per year. This summer marks the 25th anniversary of the Miamia Center at Miami University. For the Ohio Newsroom, WVXU's Tana Weingartner has this look back and forward.
The Miamia Center began with one employee and a commitment to preserving Miami tribal culture through a partnership between Miami University and the nation from which the school derives its name. Since 2001, it's grown into a full-scale initiative revitalizing the Miamia language and culture.
In terms of goal, we hope that any Miami tribe member who wants to have access to their traditional language and culture, that there'll be an array of materials waiting for them to learn.
That's Executive Director Daryl Baldwin speaking with me at WMUB in 2007. These days, children and adults speak the Miamia language, create traditional ribbon work, tell refound stories, play reclaimed games, and are learning about their heritage. Baldwin is preparing to hand his work off to the next generation.
We work a lot with archival materials, and we know, because elders said so in the archives, I'm leaving this information, whether it be stories or whatever it may be, for the future generation, hoping they can do something with this. We are that generation. We've kind of picked up those threads. We're trying to weave those threads back together to reshape our community to survive in the present. And the best this generation can hope to do is to lay a good, solid, sustainable foundation for the future to do their work upon.
Baldwin also has a reminder for the tri-state community at large.
We continually bump into individuals who think of tribes in a historic sense. And we try hard to remind people we're a living people with a past, not a people from the past.
For the Ohio Newsroom, I'm Tana Weingartner.
The U.S. Supreme Court will hear oral arguments next week challenging the Trump administration's attempts to terminate temporary protected status for Haiti and Syria. One of the plaintiffs is Springfield resident Viles Dorsonville. Since 2021, he's lived in our community under TPS, founded the Haitian Support Center, and serves as its executive director. Dorsonville is also an active Moravian pastor. WYSO's Catherine Mobley spoke with him about his faith and how it's influencing his choice to participate in this national lawsuit.
I think the Moravian has always been for justice, for inclusivity. We are one family in Christ. The Moravian always stood against racial discrimination or mistreatment of people based on their skin color or their country of origin. And I think that through my training with the Moravian, that normally compels me to stand in solidarity with the most vulnerable group of people.
Viles, you've described Moravians as exercising a social biblical approach in their ministry and evangelism. What do you mean by that?
They would look to see what they should do in that particular area to serve the people. If there is no water, they would try to bring water. If there is no school, if there is no education, they would work on those first before building any church. There is no development, they would work on those first. So this is why when you go to a Moravian facility or a Moravian campus, you would see that the church is attached to other social things like school. And they believe in helping human beings to attain their potentials. And this is how they see bringing folks to Christ through social work.
You were trained in Jamaica and then returned to Haiti as a missionary. What were your duties?
I'm a young pastor. I went back home. My responsibility was to help churches to develop socialism. So by implementing good administration, good stewardship, help the young people to be self-aware of who they are and their potentials.
In 2018, you left your family and home in Haiti. Why?
The hoodlums believe that I came back with money. And it's the money I came back with that I'm doing all this type of job. They were financed by specifically the Moravian Church worldwide, or the Unity, as they call it, or get sponsorship from other organizations. The hoodlums send you letters asking you for money that you don't have. Even my mother believed that I would be a target for kidnapping and suggested that I leave for my safety.
In 2021, you came to the United States on temporary protected status and settled in Springfield because you had a nephew who lived there. Early on, you say you witnessed other TPS holding Haitian immigrants being taken advantage of, which ultimately motivated you to create the Haitian Support Center. Describe some of those situations.
I used to work in factories. I used to work in other places. It was painful to see a person work 7 days a week without resting, and they used to give them a debit card where they pay them on that card. You would see the person coming to next day to say that they give it to somebody to activate the card for them, but all of a sudden the money just gone. I witnessed folks in Springfield. They would need a ride to go to the laundromat, and another person would come and have them pay a huge amount of money and make them believe that the laundromat is so far. And when the person is getting used to the community, they realize that the laundromat was just around the corner. There should be somebody that keeps those folks accountable. And this was the purpose of Haitian Support Center, a place where those vulnerable group of people can come and get some services without any hesitation that something will happen to them.
Viles, I've interviewed several Haitians in Springfield who are in the United States on TPS just like you. Most of them say they want to return home to Haiti. Do you believe it's safe for people to go back?
Returning home is the desire, but no. The hoodlums are still in operation in Port-au-Prince. They kidnap folks in Haiti for various reasons, and sometimes for no reason at all. And folks are still living where they do not have any access to clean water, medication, or food. And the government is incapable to help people to meet those needs.
On April 29th, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear a lawsuit challenging the Trump administration's attempt to terminate temporary protected status for Haiti and Syria. You intend to be in the audience. Why?
Be there as a community leader. They call Haitian the people who dare to live. When you dare to live, life does not like you. For some reason, you've been through a lot, but you dare to live.
Vilas Dorsonville, Executive Director of the Haitian Support Center in Springfield. Thank you for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
Nice day today. Temperatures expected in the low 80s. Plenty of sunshine also expected, but rain chances are expected to return. It looks like Friday afternoon. Better chances for rain Friday night into early Saturday. Temperatures will be in the 70s Friday and Saturday. Sunday looks nice. Temperatures back in the 70s with dry conditions. And that's WYSO Today for Thursday, April 23rd. I'm Mike Fraser.